So in the first skit, who showed the man mercy? Anyone? The Last Man, the Good Samaritan? Yeah. And in the second skit, what was the wisdom that was found? Anthony? The Bible? Yeah. Well, thank you guys. You guys can go back to your seats. We did those skits for the boys down in Gator Camp, and it was kind of fun getting ready for them. This time, Josh, if you'd come forward. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the ability to gather together as brothers and sisters. Thank you for Josh and the man you're shaping him into, Father, and his ability to study Scripture. I pray that you bless him for his time that he put into studying, and I pray that you would calm his nerves as he delivers the word that you have for us this morning. I thank you for him and this time. In Christ's name, amen.
Well, good morning. I'm excited to preach to you this morning. It's an honor to be up here and talk to you guys. My prayer this morning is that God can speak through me what I have to say, and that my words and notes will make sense to you guys this morning. I want to start out this morning with a question. Who are we? As a church, as a body of believers, who are we? Or you can take it more into an individual aspect and ask, who are you? We're Christians, right? Disciples of Christ. That's what we're called. That's so-called our title in this world. But more importantly, how do you feel as a Christian in your journey along with Christ? You feel average, day-to-day, go with the flow? Or do you actually have a drive for the Lord? Do you desire to have a deeper and more developed relationship with Christ and want to build his kingdom? This morning, I want to talk about living a life purposeful for Christ. Last week, Dave shared a great message on being the light of the world and reflecting God's light. And he touched on the passage Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. Which has its similarities to what I would like to talk about this morning, but I would more so like to focus on how we can apply Christ's example to our lives and live that out the way that Christ urges us to. So we're Christians. We've established that. That's what our so-called title is. But living as a Christian shouldn't just be our title. It's not by name only. In our culture today, Christianity has seemed to change so much. With so many beliefs and denominations in our society, a question that we must often ask ourselves is, am I a real Christian? Am I a true disciple of Christ? Now, I'm not asking you to question your salvation as much as I'm asking you to look at your life and see if it resembles a true believer. There's an old saying that goes, if being a Christian were a felony, would there be enough evidence against you to bring a conviction? And that's powerful. Would you have enough evidence in your life throughout your day, would you have enough evidence that you're a Christian? Anyone can say they're a Christian, but it's actually having a true biblical Christian faith and understanding who God is and what he's done for you and living that out in your life. That is more than just saying, I'm a Christian. That's taking the action of being a disciple of Christ. We need to be radical Christians. And what I mean by radical is something unusual. It's different. It's wildly different. A web definition I've found was it's departing markedly from the usual or customary, extreme or drastic.
Now, I wouldn't say we necessarily have to be extreme and drastic and a crazy person, but I do believe we as Christians, we need to be different from the usual, not just another human in this world. We are Christians. We're disciples of Christ. We need to be radical and be different. Someone who is radical is passionate about what they believe. Are we passionate about being a Christian? They are sold out on what they advocate. We as Christians are called to depart from the usual ways of life in this world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. The disciples, for example, they left the ordinary in order to do the extraordinary, right? They left their businesses, they left their comfortable lifestyles to follow Jesus. And Jesus was different, right? And Jesus was Jesus, and everyone knew Jesus, but what made him different? His love, his compassion for others, his words, his actions, his miracles especially, was a huge part of his ministry. Can we live like the disciples, sacrificing for Jesus? Can we live like Jesus? Yes, he was perfect, but we can live in a way that focuses on his words, on his actions, and his interactions with others. But we as Christians, as disciples of Christ, should not only be radical in our words and actions, but also in our thought life. Our minds, our hearts, are the source of our actions. If our heart is not right with God, how will we be able to show others his love? Proverbs 23:4 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Everything we do flows from our heart. Guard that. What does it matter what we think, as long as our actions are acceptable? If our minds are not pure, if our hearts are not holy and clean, if our motivations are not right, then what we do makes no real difference. This is a hard one for me to think about. It's pretty easy to put on a happy face and go out and do good deeds and make it look like I'm this put together person, I'm this good Christian, right? But we need to have God in our hearts and in our minds every day, wherever we go. Being a radical Christian is a full-time job, 24/7, 365 days a year. God cares about what we do, yes, but more importantly, he is concerned about our mental purity, because our minds are where actions are birthed. Dig into God's word, talk with him, fill your mind with thoughts from above every day. Our thought life is important to God. Is your thought life pleasing to God? What are you thinking about throughout your day, at work, at home, interacting with others? Are you thinking of thoughts above, or are you dwelling on things of this world? Our thought life, our actions, are they reflecting Christ? And I think in the Bible, there is a true example of Christ, and that's the Apostle Paul. And this morning, I want to talk about Paul. I'm excited to talk about Paul. He's always intrigued me as I heard about him, other preachers talking about him. He was always someone that just caught my attention. He always had a drive for the Lord, always spreading the gospel. And I challenge and encourage you to read about Paul. Read through Acts and how the Spirit moved through his life and how God performed miracles through him. It's so powerful to read about. Paul was a man with a drive for the Lord. He was ordained by God to speak to the Gentiles. In Acts 9:15, a little bit of context here. This would have been directly or a few days after his conversion. He was on his way to Damascus, and the Lord shone to him, blinded him. And this would have been while he was still blind. And here in Acts, the Lord is calling a Christian or a disciple of Christ in Damascus to talk to Paul, which is interesting because Paul was going to Damascus to persecute the church. And here the Lord is using a Christian from Damascus to talk to Paul. It says here, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man,'" referring to Paul, "'this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. So Paul was chosen by God to proclaim his name. Paul went on three missionary journeys and a trip to Rome. And during these missionary journeys, it was so incredible what Paul's drive for the Lord was. He was always so encouraging to the churches he has established. He roughly established 12 churches, and as we know, he wrote 13 books of the Bible, which is huge. And he traveled thousands and thousands of miles to share to the Gentiles who Jesus was. And I think that was Paul's purpose, to share who Jesus was, to validate who Jesus was. And what I mean by validate, Paul's journeys were several years after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, and news doesn't spread quite as fast as around here in Lancaster County, and people weren't exactly sure on what to believe about Jesus. Was he actually the Messiah? Did he raise from the dead? And Paul's purpose on his journeys was to validate Jesus, to confirm, to verify that, yes, Jesus is the Messiah. He has paid the price. He has risen. Repent of your sins. Paul was telling the Gentiles that Jesus is the Messiah. During the time of Paul's ministry, the Gospels about Jesus had probably not been widely circulated yet. So Paul couldn't just tell who he met to read the Bible and look at this section and act like this man Jesus. Instead, through his words, he urged them to imitate him, to imitate his life. He was a true example of Christ and his love. Paul was a radical Christian. He was different. Paul was not just a normal Christian. He fully submitted to God's purpose and made a huge impact. He can be known as the most influential leaders of the early churches. And I want to read a little bit from Philippians. You can turn there if you wish. Philippians 3. Here, Paul is challenging the Philippians here to pursue Christ's likeness. Philippians 3:17-21 says, "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ, and their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." And the first stanza there, it's Paul is saying, join together in following my example. He's not asking them to copy his every move and live his exact lifestyle. He's more so challenging them to focus their lives on being like Christ, just as he did. And the people he's talking about here, their destiny is destruction, enemies of the cross. He's talking here about, they were called Judaizers. And he talks about them earlier in this chapter. In chapter 1, the first few verses were Philippians 3. I read those wrong verses, didn't I? Anyway, I kind of forget the verses, but he was calling them wild dogs and mutilators of the flesh. And the Judaizers were Jewish Christians who wrongfully believed that it was essential for the Gentiles to follow the Old Testament Jewish laws. Many Judaizers were motivated by spiritual pride because they had invested so much time and effort in keeping laws, they could not accept the fact that through all their effort, they could not get a step closer to salvation. And this was Paul's warning and reminder against the enemies of the cross here. They may live as we do, but they do so wrongfully. He's warning them, don't get caught up in that. They may act like us, but their beliefs are backwards. And he's warning them and reminding them of that. And there is a study note in my Bible that I thought fit well. It says, Paul criticized not only the Judaizers, but also self-indulgent Christians, people who claim to be Christians but don't live up to Christ's model of servanthood and self-sacrifice. Such people satisfy their own desires even before thinking about the needs of others. Freedom in Christ does not mean freedom to be selfish. It means taking every opportunity to serve and to become the person God made you to be. It means taking every opportunity to serve. Paul did that. Paul took every opportunity, no matter where he was, in prison, on the road, in churches preaching. Every opportunity Paul had, he was preaching the gospel. He was so full of joy and passion for the Lord. In Paul's second missionary journey, him and Silas set out to visit the cities Paul had preached in earlier. And during their journey, they were eventually seized for casting a spirit out of a woman. You can read about it. It's kind of interesting. And they were flogged, and they were put into prison, which you'd think is a pretty sad turn of events, right? But knowing Paul, he made the best of it. As we know, it's a well-known story. In prison, they were praying and singing. And then the Lord sent an earthquake, and shackles fell off, and the doors flew open. The power of God in the prison. The jailer fell at the feet of Paul and Silas, trembling, asking them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." And in Philippians 1, he's in prison, and I don't think it's the same time as Paul and Silas were in, but he's talking to the Philippians here, and he's in prison, and it says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." He was in prison, and the whole palace guard became confident in the Lord. That's crazy. Paul's drive for the Lord and spreading the gospel was so powerful. He was a true example of Christ. Is it more important to go with the crowd and to just fit in, or stand out for the sake of Christ? Paul stood out. Do we stand up for what we believe? Paul did in prison. Do we care enough about the souls of men and women to tell them about this saving grace offered them by Christ, even if it means that we might be ridiculed by them or others for the sake of the gospel? Paul was ridiculed. Paul many times was beaten almost till death for his passion to share the word. Many times in cities he was beaten and flogged and put in prison, but he still spread the gospel. So again, Paul couldn't give them the Bible and say, "Here, do this, and act like this man Jesus here." But he lived in such a way that he urged them to imitate him, to imitate his life. He was so much like Christ, and the confidence for that. Could we do that? Do our lives reflect Christ like Paul's? What kind of follower would a new Christian become if he or she was to imitate you? Does our life reflect Christ like Paul's? And along with that, Paul's humility was so immense. In Philippians 3, 8 and 9, it says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things." Paul's counting all his great accomplishments, everything he did, a loss compared to the greatness of knowing Christ. "I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and by his faith. How can we use Paul's example in our own Christian lives? In Philippians, he was so encouraging. And this was while he was in prison. And he was writing a note of thanks and encouragement to the Philippians. Something very interesting and powerful about Paul is many of his future missionary journeys, he wasn't just going to new places and establishing new churches. He was going to previous places he talked to and was encouraging them and giving them confidence in their faith and making and checking in on them and seeing if they're doing okay in the faith. And just the encouragement that Paul had was very big. And I want to ask, how can we use Paul's example of that in our lives? Encouraging our brothers and sisters in Christ, being intentional, showing kindness, and caring for others. Romans 12:10 says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. How does this look in your life? When to encourage? It can be as simple as encouraging a friend, a family member, to have a good day. Off to work? Have a good day, Dad. Enjoy your day at home, Mom. But this can also be taken into a deeper and more spiritual aspect of encouraging a friend who might be struggling in their walk with the Lord. Walking alongside a brother or sister in Christ, youth and adults even, walking alongside each other as you grow in faith in Christ, relating with one another in your journey is so powerful. And Paul did that. He encouraged the brothers he spoke to. When to be kind and caring and loving. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. At home, how can this look? For younger ones, being kind to your siblings. Love your brother and sister for who they are. Be kind to your mom and dad. Respect, honor in the household, not arguing, not mouthing them off just because you have a bad day. And kindness to a spouse. Obviously, I'm not married or anything, but I think it can be powerful for husband and wife to work together and show love to in the house, and that can also show an example to the kids in the household. Show your kids that you love them. Let Christ fill your home. If we can't show love and encouragement in our home, then how will we be able to show that to the world? John 13:35 says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. In our everyday lives, going to work, kindness in our world is almost a lost art today, it seems. So many people are rude and self-centered, worried about themselves, not worried very much about others. How are we doing with that? People we interact with every day, customers, employees, are we being considerate of their circumstance? Are we showing kindness or just getting by them to get what we need to keep going? We need to be radical. We need to be intentional with what we do for others. We are Christians, disciples of Christ, loving one another, caring for each other, sharing God's love. And Dave's message, be a light to those around us. Too often we have the attitude of, yes, Lord, I want to be with you one day in the everlasting kingdom, but I don't want to help build your kingdom here on earth. Or, yes, Lord, I want to receive your unconditional love, but don't want to share it with others. Are the people with whom we spend a significant amount of time with, are they different and better because of our witness to them? Have we made a difference in people's lives by sharing with them the love that was given to us? And how can we do that in opportunities we have in our life? And I have a small example here. A couple or two or three weeks ago, I was able to be involved with Honeybrook Boys Camp. And this is 1 week Bible camp where Camp Andrews and Honeybrook joins together. And it's a Bible camp for boys from town. And these boys come from various backgrounds and oftentimes they can be very sad. Parents are split, no mom or no dad, most likely not a Christ-centered environment. And that's why camp is so great for them to come and learn about Christ. Our purpose as counselors and staff to these campers is to let God move through us to show the campers God's love. Being able to interact with these campers and having a positive influence, hanging out and having a blast at camp, having fun, but doing so in a manner that reflects living as a disciple of Christ. Every evening we had Bible hour where we were able to sit and there was a speaker. And just it's so powerful that these boys, you don't know where they come from, and they're able to come and listen to what God has to say through the speaker to them. And us as counselors had the privilege of being able to take one-on-one time. And this is a time where you can go hang out and become closer with them and talk with them about how life's going. And it's cool because you'll have the opportunity if they want to share with you. And then taking that opportunity and to speak into their life. Let God speak through you into their life. And how we as counselors, we had the authority as counselors, how we reacted to certain situations was important. I have a short example here. There was one camper that we had me and my co-counselor, Darrell, we had an older cabin, and they were like 14 to 15 years old. And there was this kid named Leland, and he was so full of energy, and he just always had to be doing stuff, kind of reminding me of myself somewhat. And he was always picking on people, and just he always had to be doing something. And you had to tell him multiple times before he stopped. But overall, he was a good kid. He knew his boundaries, but he liked to get as close to them as possible. And the one time we were walking back from the pool, we were like damp, and some of the campers started like towel whipping each other. And it was all fun and games until Leland like was like just thrashing people. And my co-counselor, we were all kind of getting tired of it, and we were telling him to stop. Well, my co-counselor, Leland, whipped him really good, and you could just tell it hurt. But the way Darrell reacted to that situation, he could have turned around and yelled and like beat down on Leland and make him feel bad. But he didn't. He turned around and, you know, acted like it hurt. But then he just went and tackled him in the grass, and it was all fun and games. And everyone was happy. And the point that I want to make is the way we reacted to the campers, because we don't know the situations they come from. If Liam were to show that kind of energy and attitude at home, how would his parents react to that? So at camp, our purpose was to show Christ's love to the campers, what it's like to hang out and just have fun, but also be men of God, trying to be a difference in their life. That's just one event that we can do that. How do the opportunities look in your life? Are you taking those opportunities to show Christ's love, big or small, in your daily life or missionary or mission work, anything? Just take the opportunities to be different and show Christ's love. Live like Paul and be radical, no matter the circumstance. We are disciples of Jesus. Are we living that out? Are we living the life of a radical Christian every day? Are we being intentional with people we meet every day? Be different. Be God's disciples in this world, in our society. It's so important. Search for ways to become more like Him. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this morning. I just right now ask that we can be your light, dear God. I pray that we can live out your plan for our lives. I pray that we can share your world to this world, share your word to this world, dear God. As we go from here, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill each and every one here. I pray that as we go throughout our week this week, you will be with us. guard and protect our hearts and our thought life. And I pray that our words and actions can be uplifting to you, and that we can be different and we can be intentional with those who we meet. I just pray that you will be with us the rest of this afternoon and just bless everyone here this morning. Amen.